Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL,
as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions.
The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
And we welcome you in here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you want to join the conversation, your thoughts. And I'd love to hear from fans who are here at Everbank Field today about the new fan enhancements, the speaker system. Did you like the Jaguars prowl with the team kind of walking through the fans to come into the stadium? Some of your thoughts on some of the new things you saw, whether it's new players, new coach, new speaker system, what have you. I want to get your thoughts on the new that you experienced today here in the preseason. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. And let's start it off as we like to, Marco. Marco's money player. Who was the money player today for you, Marco, in first preseason game?
I'm going with Rashad Jennings, man. You know, you figure this guy is out there, no MJD. Great opportunity for him. He'll be a free agent next year to let him know, hey, you don't have to pay MJD. You can pay me.
He'll take that.
I'll take it, baby. I think he did a great job. You know, again, I can't say enough about that offensive line, tight end, and Greg Jennings. Greg Jones. You know, Jennings did an outstanding job taking advantage of some really big holes. Those guys did a great job for him. Good job there, Rashad.
All right, if you want to join us via the Twitterverse, you can tweet to me at Culpepper, Culpepper, or you can join the conversation at 800-355-NFL1, and we will get some calls here in just a moment. The Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. 800-355-NFL1. We say we just jump right in and take some calls here, Marco.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Bobby in Mandarin, who will lead us off today early this morning, all of a sudden. Hey, it's Saturday. Happy Saturday to you, Bobby.
Yeah, no kidding. It went by quick, didn't it?
It did.
Indeed.
Well, Marco, Cole, I just want to say, you know, it was really nice to see the first-string offense just move down the field the way they did. You know, after coming off a mediocre season, even though Blaine Gabbert was a rookie, it was very nice to see that first drive go the way that it did. I mean, even without Maurice, we filled all the holes we needed to fill, and that was just very, very, very good to see that they just moved it right down the field.
And not just without Maurice, but, you know,
missing offensive line.
The offensive line was kind of a little bit of a mess in terms of who was, you know, say a mess, not who they expect to have out there. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a guy who you expect to be the number one receiver in Blackman.
Yeah.
So
you're right. But, I mean, it wasn't just like that. I mean, the coaches, everything just kind of glued on that first drive. And, you know, I'm glad to see Malarkey in there. And I just think this is going to be a positive thing as long as we can just, like Marco said, the good, bad, and the ugly. First of all, we need to get rid of the refs for sure. That's got to fix itself. But the simple fact of filling the little holes we need to fill and ball security, that's going to be a big, big key this year.
There's no doubt about it. Ball security, I'm certain, is going to be harped on by the coaching staff very soon. One thing I would mention on that, you've got a lot of guys playing in their first preseason game. We're having a hard time holding on to it. You also have some guys who, frankly, haven't been hit. You know, mm-hmm. You've had a little bit of thud contact in practice, but like for instance, Cecil Shorts on the reverse, you know, he's got to do a better job of securing the ball. But again, that's what the preseason's for, to get you in the habit of doing that. So,
just send Marco into the locker room one time.
All right, go ahead,
guys. I appreciate the time, but like I said, I think I see a lot of good stuff and. Hopefully we can carry that momentum into New Orleans next week.
All right, Bobby, thanks for the
call. Have a good morning, Bobby.
800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Greg on the west side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Greg, how you doing?
Hey, what up, guys? How y'all doing tonight?
Good, Greg.
Hey, man, I'm Marco. I saw you guys up there at the booth walking in, trying to wave to you guys. I got to tell you, I was very impressed with seeing how Blaine performed tonight. It was definitely, I think, going a long way to quieting some of those naysayers. And I think if he can keep that sort of poise and that sort of performance during the regular season, he can maintain that on some level, I think he's going to go a long way to silencing his critics. And he's going to be a very valuable asset to the team. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what anybody says. anger tonight, he showed why he was worth a third-round pick. That boy is going to be a weapon in our special teams for many years to come.
And I
just hope they're smart enough to keep him.
I have to be honest. I have to be honest with you. I was one of those who raised an eyebrow when they drafted a punter. But I'll tell you what, everything I've seen out of him, I mean, he can make a significant difference in ball games.
Special teams changes games.
He definitely flipped the field. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Yeah, special teams
changes games. By the way, I'm going to let you know that this is the only game I'm going to get to see with my daughter this year. She came down for a vacation, and it was pretty cool, and I want to give a shout-out to my daughter, Chelsea. So it was a great seeing the game with her.
All right, definitely. Sounds good. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it. Thanks for the call. There were a lot of jokes made, you know, about a team drafting a punter in the third round. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. Now, these expectations pale in comparison to Olympic expectations. And how great was it to see Sonya Richards-Ross up on the scoreboard saying, you know, giving the shout-out to the Jaguars. And then, as I mentioned in the broadcast, just after the Jaguars scored that first touchdown, she tweeted, I'm following her on Twitter, she tweeted, touchdown Jags, and then the next tweet was, I got to go to sleep, I got to run the 4x400 tomorrow. And now this story comes in that there's going to be a reality show, sort of reality show, following Sonya Richards-Ross's run up to London, you know, her preparations and so forth, and Aaron Ross may get a little bit of a little cameo action there. So, you know, listen, I will say this, and again, we'll get back to talking about the game a bit, but I may have mentioned it on Tuesday night. My favorite Olympic memory of all time is the Miracle on Ice, 1980, right?
Okay.
By far. But my second favorite is now being on the field, as a bunch of Jaguars fans were, and a number of, and the, you know, the team and so forth, being on that field and watching the Jaguars watch the race.
Yeah, I wasn't here, but it seemed like that would have been exciting.
I'll show you a video when we get to the break. I got it right here on my phone. It's one of those little things that if Mike Mularkey had not done, nobody would have said, oh, you should have done this. But the fact that he did it just shows that he's
and that's the type, you know, when you talk about what happened after the game with getting the game ball. Yep. What he allowed, you know, it's very few coaches that would allow Ross to actually go. This is the middle of training camp, a series, you know, what, you know, you're only going to be there for a little. I mean, for him to allow that and then also get the whole team also to embrace an exciting moment for one of their teammates, he's built, as tough as it is in professional sports, he's been trying to build a family,
yep.
You know, and that is major. That's how you win. You don't have to have the most talented team. You have to have the team that's most together. You got to have some talent, you know, of course some. But then the team that's together, they overcome a lot of different things, you know. So I hats off to Mularkey and the things he's done so far with the team and getting the team to be together.
And I'm reading the tweet from Vito Stellino, the Times Union here, mm-hmm. on this subject, talking to Jordan Palmer. And let me just read you the quote. I'll tell you what, I've been with a couple of different teams and been around the league for a long time. I haven't seen anybody like Mularkey. Does everything the right way, a player's coach, and yet he asks a lot of us. And that's a tough balance, because you talk about somebody who is a player's coach, and the thought is, well, he's kind of allows, you know, he just let you get away with a little bit. He won't be as tough on you. And you talk about a disciplinarian, and that's, you know, Coughlin comes right to mind. Somebody who really asks a lot of you, is demanding. You played for both types.
Right.
You know, and it's rare to find somebody who can balance those two things. I think Jeff Fisher was always good at balancing those two things. Bill Cowher was good at balancing those two things. The early reviews are that Mike Mularkey is, has found a great balance of that.
I think the biggest thing is his experience. You know, you figure this isn't a guy that just got a just happened to be a coach. He's been in the league for quite a while. You know, he played as a player for 9 years. Matter of fact, he played at a time it was old school.
Yep.
You know what I mean? What's going on now was nothing like what it was when he first came into the league. And then to see the maturation of the league, actually, is what he's been involved with. So many years, so many different teams, involved with a lot of different situations. This guy has probably, he's seen the highs and the lows, been a head coach, then been brought all the way back down to being just a position coach as a tight end. So I think he's a humble guy, you know, ultimately. And with that, his work ethic and the things he's been through, his experience, it shows in the actions in which he takes in preparing a team. I said, ultimately, a team that's together is a team that'll have some success, and he knows that.
All right, we'll take time out. More calls when we come back, 800-355-NFL1. Visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We'll take your calls at 800-355-NFL1. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you're in the Twitterverse right now. We'll have the carry of the day and an injury update, plus your calls when we come back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Let's hit the carry of the day, brought to you by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Who had the carry of the day today? I think I have a pretty good guess.
Twofold, the batting ram. That's what I'm saying. This guy, man, I've been watching Montel all camp. I mean, he's been doing outstanding. I thought he was going to get more of an opportunity to run the ball the way he's been going in training camp. I mean, he's, you know, especially with that run, he's shown he's definitely capable. I mean, he brings a different element than what Rashard brings, because yep. I don't think they have another runner that can get the tough yards. Rashard is going to be a good runner, but I think even for him, if I have a knock on him, it's his yards after being hit. I think when you hit him, he pretty much stops right there, where Mr. Owens, he's bringing it to you.
Yeah, and I will say that Bob Gronkowski told us earlier in the week that he was surprised how physically Jennings runs. He was not asking about,
how Owens runs.
Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Derek Cox and John Estes, the two injuries that we'll be keeping a close eye on. Cox left the game with a sprained calf, Estes with a sprained knee. No reports yet on how things are going to go, but we expect to get an update fairly soon throughout this week. My hope would be that, you would know pretty soon on Cox. A strained calf is usually one of those things that, I would think, unless it's more serious than that, if it's a regular season game, he would play next week. If it's a preseason game, which it is, maybe you hold him out just as a precautionary measure. Estes kind of worries me. Anytime you start talking about a knee, you start worrying about which CL it is, ACL, PCL.
But for Cox, that calf is pretty important, when you're talking about doing a lot of running.
But that's not one of those injuries that's going to put you out for the year.
But it can be lingering, and for him, this is almost every year he's had some kind of injury bug that's plagued him, where he's not been able to play all 16 games. His durability is now going to begin to come into question if you can't get that together.
All right, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today. Proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, back to some calls, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Edna in Mandarin, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Edna, how you doing?
Hey, Edna.
Just fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
My husband wanted me to call and ask you, is there any way they could turn down the sound system? It's loud.
Edna, for the last, I'd say, about 18 years, people around the stadium have been asking the Jaguars, can you improve that? Can you turn it up? Now you wanted to turn it back down, huh?
Well, it's a new system, isn't it? And they've moved the speakers.
They've added a bunch of speakers. There may be some balance issues. They'll be refining that. I would be surprised if they will be turning it down, but they may be getting it more in balance. That may be
one of the things
that they do.
I wear a hearing aid in both ears, and I had to take the hearing aids out because they put speakers right above us.
Yeah.
They might start piping in some crowd noise sometime. What was that? Yeah. Somebody did that.
Colts.
The Colts.
That was that old rumor.
The play-by-play wasn't too bad, but the commercials and the music and the D-line were awful.
All right. Well, I will pass that on to the folks in charge of that, and let them know that. And you're in the upper deck, I guess.
Section 432. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let them know that it was loud up there. So, it's preseason for the new speakers too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a good game, and we enjoy your show.
Thank you, Edna. We appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Mike on the north side. You're up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Mike, how you doing?
Good morning, Cole. Good morning, Marco.
Hey there. Good morning.
Hey, listen, I'd just like to go ahead and and echo Edna's comment about the speaker system. I sit in section 410, and I'll tell you, it was absolutely terrible. It was muffled. It was loud.
It was muffled.
About halfway up, muffled. You couldn't make out, you know, what was being said most of the time.
Okay.
Which you had to guess. It was like sign language on the field. We're looking for the refs, you know, trying to figure out what was going on.
Well, in defense of the speakers, we weren't sure what the refs were talking about half the time either. So
I don't know what assisted living facility they got them, but they ought to go back and get
They could have got some young guys to come and stand in. There's some young guys that's hungry. That
call central casting? Yeah, is that what you're asking
really
for?
I mean, auditions for some of these young college coaches. You know, come on, man. Bring in some old scabs.
I'll close my comments with this. For a preseason game, it was very entertaining. No game planning, I'm kind of excited to see what Gretkowski comes up with for the regular season.
Yeah, didn't that offense look completely different than what you expected to see in the preseason
last year? I wasn't asleep by the third quarter. It was good to see. Good to see some change.
Yep. All right, Mike,
guys.
Appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go out to Fernandina Beach. Gary is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Gary, how you doing?
Great, Marco, Cole. How about you guys?
Doing good, Gary.
Hey, who were those guys out there tonight?
Who were those masked men?
I don't want to shock anybody, but I'm fairly certain those were the Jaguars.
They were the Jaguars that we've been looking for. And, you know, the first drive starting with that, and I think the coach interview, I don't know if I saw it on TV or the radio, but his statement that we have something to build on now, I think that really rings true. But what a great overall performance. And then for the guys to give the coach a team ball, I mean, that, you know, Marco, you've been in the locker room. That means a lot. That is a huge statement. You guys talked about it earlier. A couple of kudos to Blaine, you know, except for, like you said, the drop ball, the one time he fumbled. I think he, if anything, maybe he wasn't checking off on the second or third reads quite quick enough, but it's first game. I think huge improvement. And this kid, Jordan
Palmer.
Jordan Palmer. I think the fellow from Miami may be looking over his shoulder a little bit there. He showed a lot of promise, though it was against, you know, twos and threes. I get that. But he connected against what another thing I noticed is what you guys mentioned earlier is the depth that we seem to be developing at wide receiver. You know, this is clearly Gene Smith deserves a lot of credit, as does Coach. They've been really, really building. I was unaware of a lot of the new rules put into the new contract about you're really limited on the two-a-days, and
yep.
I learned a lot about that kind of stuff tonight that I was unaware of. And I know Freddie was in the house tonight, and I hope he just calls up MJ and says, you know, MJ, stop listening to your agent, because everybody's expendable.
Well, you know, nobody wants to get rid of Maurice Jones-Drew.
No,
but it
no.
I think here the point is this: this is all up to Maurice at this point, because I just don't see the Jaguars suddenly saying, "All right, we'll throw you some money."
We gave him a front load. We gave him a front load, and he was the second highest player at that point in time, yep. If the research is accurate.
And not only that, but when you see, Rashad Jennings run like he did today. Suddenly, if you were wavering at all, you kind of go, all right, well, stick to our guns.
Indeed. So, Fred Taylor, I hope you're listening. Love you, brother. Miss you. Want to see your name up there on that stadium wall one day.
That's coming.
Very soon.
Indeed. But I'm really, really, really happy and impressed. Been there since season ticket holder since the first year. So we're really, really excited. Didn't make the game tonight, but that's, you know, other personal issues. But what I saw tonight on TV was something that I was jumping up and down for a preseason game, you know.
It was exciting.
There's something that's happening here.
Indeed.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
But you know what? At the same time, you got to still.
It was
the first preseason game, and it is a lot of positives to take out of it. But it's a long way to go between now and come September and that first game that really matters. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely a lot of positive, but I don't think there's no need to start doing
you don't need to print your Super Bowl tickets yet. But I'm just telling you.
Not quite yet.
But it's not just what happened on the field today. That's part of it. But
it's a great atmosphere.
Again, I'm here in the building every day. I'm out on the practice field.
I agree.
Things are just
But it's got to all be put into perspective, and I'm pretty sure Coach Mularkey will do the same with the team and say, hey, this was a practice game. You had a great practice tonight.
Yep.
Let's go back to work. And this, the mission is not to be a great preseason team. It's to be a great regular season team.
No doubt.
You know, so, you know, I mean, like I said, it was great. I agree completely with what's going on. But and I don't want myself, you know, and everyone to get too excited because I guess when you from where we came into where we are, it's like night and day. But, you know, keeping it all in perspective.
At the end of minicamp, the end of OTAs, Mularkey told the players, there's no reason to go out and tell everybody what's going on here because we got something special, and if they won't believe it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, he believes that. The players are believing that. This was, again, not if the Jaguars had not scored that two-point conversion and lost 31-30, some people would have felt differently about it just because we're so conditioned to wins or losses. But when you look at what happened when the starters were in the ballgame, you're basically talking about one bad call by a replacement ref that that didn't help things. But basically, you're basically talking about a Jaguars team that played essentially even with the world champs.
Yeah, but again, as a former player, you know, first preseason games, I can just to kind of a little bit of the devil's advocate. You got some guys that played in the Super Bowl, so their attitude coming to the preseason game was, I'm looking at the clock. I can't wait till this game is over.
You played for Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
You know what it's like.
Hey, but the same thing. These guys, their thoughts are about December, January, not right now.
I understand. Hey, listen, it's one. Like I said, it doesn't give you an emphatic yes, but there wasn't a lot here to
great
tell
start.
You no.
It's a great – I'm not arguing. It's definitely a great start. Let's keep it all in perspective.
Let's take it downtown. Let's take a break. So hang on there, James. I'm going to put you back on hold. Hang on there. Because Linda Fortunato has reminded me that I need to take a break. Well done, Linda. Thank you. She's bossy. 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll take time out because Linda says so. And we'll come back and take your calls if Linda lets me. Right after this time out here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. 800-355-NFL1. As promised, James, you are downtown and you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to ask a question about two players. One on defense, Julian Stanford started the scrimmage, but he didn't play. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that. And then also on offense, I want to know what y'all think the chances are Matt Vellman taking Zach Potter's spot. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay, thanks very much. Yeah, Stanford played very well. And, in fact, Gene Smith called him the unsung player from the scrimmage. I'm not sure why he wasn't out there today and if he – I'm not sure if he didn't. I'll have to check and see if he got any plays at all. I didn't notice him, though, for sure. I think that he's, if healthy, I think he's got a great opportunity to play quite a bit. They really like his, his physical tools and the guy who, with the injury to Clint Session, obviously they've got, some need for that backup linebacker behind Russell Allen, with Russell Allen moving up now, so. Let me dig into that. Let me see if I can find the participation chart here in the meantime. The other one you're talking about was Veldman. It's too early to say whether he could take Zach Potter's place, but he made a couple of good catches in the end zone in the scrimmage. He made a catch in the end zone for a 2-point try today. So who knows? He's going to have to be able to block. It's not just about catching the football, but it may not be even about taking a roster spot from Zach Potter, because Zach Miller is having health issues again. And if Miller is not all the way healthy when the season starts, you may see him carry another tight end. So I think both those guys, I think you've identified two guys who have a good chance to find their way out there and make a difference and make the squad. And looking at the roster on the participation, he is listed as having participated in the game. I don't know whether it was on special teams or whether it was at linebacker, because I'm with you. I didn't notice it, but I'm not looking for every single player on every single play.
I think that'll be the key for both of them, is the special teams play. You know, guys like that, you know, their contribution more than anything. If you can contribute on special teams, it'll go a long way for you on the other side of the ball.
No doubt about it. James, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Patrick up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What did you think of the refs? I thought they were terrible tonight.
Yeah, not spectacular. And they were not as bad as they seemed to be, but so many times they just had this look like, oh, did I leave my flag over there? And, oh, where do I go for the replay? Like, I can't fully blame them, because these are guys in their first NFL experience. Most of these guys, and yes, it's them, but it's kind of what's expected out of somebody like that. They just did not engender a lot of I think a lot of confidence in the way that they conducted things, particularly when you, oh, hey, sorry, we left the flag over there. That's and by the way, let me just point that, I don't want to pick on him, because I know being an official is not an easy job, and especially in the situation that he's thrown into. But Jerry Hughes, who was the referee, he says, we left the flag over. Jerry, you left the flag over there. So don't try the wee stuff. I've tried that with my wife. Yeah, we just didn't do the right thing there, honey. No, you didn't do the right thing, Cole. That's the problem. All right, so, Jerry, if you're a married man, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, shouldn't they have ended the game on the illegal forward pass? Isn't that a 10-second runoff?
I believe it should have been a 10-second runoff. And I don't know, again, two things. Number one, it's a preseason game, so it's not like the outcome is going to make or break a season. Number two, the fact that the Jaguars made a play at the end. I was actually kind of rather see the Jaguars go out there make a play to end the game rather than end on a penalty. But, yeah, I think they messed that up. They totally blew the two things in early on when they called the face mask call. Number one, they said the face mask in the back of the head. Breaking news. The face mask is not located in the front, in the back of the helmet. It's located in the front. Secondly, there wasn't any contact like that. I mean, it wasn't there. So, it's bad officiating and maybe overwhelmed, and maybe it's, game's moving too quick for him, what have you, but not so good.
All right, well, I'll take this off the air. How soon do you think this will be fixed?
No clue. Absolutely no clue.
They got to do something before the season starts.
You would think, but yeah, and this is what this is what the officials are counting on. The officials union is counting on, and I haven't looked into exactly all the details of exactly what they're asking for. My guess is that the league can probably afford it. The question is whether it makes sense to to bargain this way. But this is exactly what the officials are banking on, is for the replacement officials, who are not, who are the third and fourth tier guys, not the first and second tier guys, to be awful, and for the fans to be outraged, for the players to be outraged, and then they'll have more, more leverage in their negotiations. All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Banaszak would say they're all terrible anyway, so what does it matter?
I think you just go get some younger guys that just that are aspiring, that haven't just been sitting on the couch. One of these guys might have been refereeing someplace. But, I mean, come on. You just go get anybody.
Look, they would have scored a
– just get it together before the darn regular season
starts. A 92,
starts.
But those 8% really stood out, right?
Yeah, but those make a difference in the game. When you figure, when you're talking about a real game, ooh, it'll hurt them.
All right. Linda's hot, so we have to take another break. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Steve, David, I'm sorry. Linda's warm, so we have to take time out, but I promise I'll get to you if you hang on through the break. Back after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. It is a bit muggy in here. Right here on Jaguars Radio. With the whistling accompaniment of Marco Coleman, Cole Pepper here. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show continues. Linda stepped out halfway into the hallway to try to cool down.
I think maybe
using those speakers may have blown the AC in here. I don't know. It's a lot of power. All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Steve on the left coast, who is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Steve, how you doing? Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I listen to you online because I'm on the left coast.
Yep.
But I just wanted to kind of share a soft story. My uncle sent me a T-shirt the day after the Jacksonville Jaguars were awarded to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And it was kind of cool because I opened
the box. Your uncle lives here?
He did.
Yeah.
He has since passed away.
Okay.
But anyway, I opened the box, and there was the first T-shirt ever on the left coast.
Wow, how about that?
Well, right. I still have it. It's kind of ratty right now, but that's okay. But anyway, I listened to the game tonight, enjoyed it. And like I say, I enjoy your guys' commentary, and hope you guys continue on.
Thank you, Steve. Well, I appreciate it. That's a great connection to your uncle and to the franchise, and hopefully you'll be able to get caught up in some of the excitement of what's happening here and some of the optimism that's really building around the building and around the team. Even though you're several thousand miles away, hopefully you can kind of feed off some of that via the radio broadcast.
And absolutely, I don't want them back in I don't want them in L.A.
I'm with you.
I'll put that on the top.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening out on the West Coast. 800-355-NFL1. David on the south side, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, didn't you guys used to have a segment called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. You missed it?
Well, I'm going to give you my good, bad, and the ugly.
All right.
The good was was obviously the first drive for the Jaguars.
Yep.
Nice drive. The bad was the two things I looked for the Jaguars to improve was Gabbert. The play where he just bailed out was awful. I mean, that was a big knock on him. That's the difference between being an NFL quarterback and being a sub-NFL quarterback. He's got to stand up in the pocket and make that pass. That's a 40-yard completion if he stands in the pocket and completes it.
Yep.
And instead, he bails out and overthrows a guy. And no pass rush from the first team. No pass rush again. They're gonna have to develop a pass rush. And, of course, the ugly was the officiating. That was really, really rough. But, again, there was some positives. But the two things, like I said, I really wanted to come see was Gabbert standing in the pocket and complete passes, which he did. But when the pressure was on, he bailed out, which really, really I didn't like it. And I can't remember them ever pressuring Manning, but maybe one time with the one-to-one. They didn't get any sacks, did they? Or any knockdowns against Manning, did they?
Not the ones. But, again, also remember, without – Tyson and without Austin Lane, they didn't have the full and Pot Roast came in a little bit later, so not really the full complement. It's absolutely, though, something they need to do a better job of, pressuring the quarterback,
particularly
with the downfield.
Yeah, the interior. I think the guys were coming on the edge, but the quarterback was able to step up. It was that interior presence, like you said. Tyson, I think, was missed more than anybody because he didn't have any kind of pressure up the middle.
The guy late, I'm bad with names, but there was a I've heard his name several times. The defensive tackle, he played great late. I think he's an up-and-comer. I wish I could remember his name. He played well in the second half.
Jarris Pendleton or Corey Irvin or
He played well. I mean, I've heard his name several times, but that was encouraging. Like I said, the refreshing was horrible. The one pass where the guy in the left, I think it was the first series, the second series, the Giants had the ball. The guy absolutely mugged him in that left corner of the end zone. It was pass interference. That was an obvious touchdown. But anyways, it was bad for both teams. But anyways.
Yeah, listen, right. It's the preseason. Again, nobody will remember the score next week. So you move on and build on it, right?
I just hope Gabbert can learn to step up in the pocket and take that hit because, like I said, that's the difference. You know, that's the difference. Like I said, that's a 40-yard completion, and that's really the difference between Peyton Manning and you know, Blaine Gabbert right now, in my opinion, in a lot of ways.
There's probably a little more than that right now between Peyton and Blaine, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, because Blaine is doing – I think he's a really good quarterback. He can throw. He can make all the throws. I think he makes good decisions. He's able to – he's a smart guy. I mean, because I think the playbook for the offense is complex with all the different formations and personnel groupings. But the toughness, man, we went into the end of last season with that type of question. And today there was an opportunity to kind of, you know, seize that, but I didn't see that happen.
All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, wrap things up. This is the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. After the Jaguars beat the Giants to open the preseason, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Let's get one more call in before we call it a morning. And we'll go to Richard in Oklahoma, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good.
I love you guys. I love your work. If the team's not all in, I want to tell you guys that I'm all in, too. I live in Oklahoma. My sister lives in Jacksonville. She has season tickets. I was there. I saw Tony Maselli's last game. I think he played for the Jaguars. I believe it was the day after Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
I had a Buffelli T-shirt on. He got injured on early in the game.
I remember it, yep. I know Tony remembers it, too.
And I've been a dedicated Jaguar fan ever since. My sister, who lives there, thinks I'm crazy because I listen to the coaches' shows on Monday on my computer. I listen to the Jaguars reporters on Tuesday. I listened to Jaguars this week. Yeah, of course, I watched the botched Chargers-Packers game on ESPN last night. Had Jaguars on tonight on the computer. Listened to the radio show. I love it.
Well, we love having you out there, Richard. And I think you may have just recorded our promo for our coverage during the course of the week. That was perfect. That was well done. Richard, thanks for checking in from Oklahoma. And hopefully we can get you caught up in some of the excitement that's going on here with this team right now.
Oh, I'm there. I know. You have to sneak in and sneak around those computer things, but I can get the video.
My man Rich.
The problem is the radio thing, you mute the video, and the radio is about 2 minutes ahead of what you're seeing on the line, so it's kind of hard to keep up with sometimes, but I can do it.
Richard, we'd love to hear from you out there, and don't be a stranger, and we hope to talk to you down the line as the season progresses.
I do. I want to talk to Tony. I want to get my autograph, my jersey autograph.
All right. Well, hey, listen, you know where to get them on Wednesday night on Jaguars this week.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Richard. We appreciate it. That's a nice way to wrap things up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Next week, Jaguars, another Friday game in New Orleans against the Saints, 8 o'clock for kickoff. That means we'll start at 5 p.m. right here with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Closing thought here. What's your takeaway from this game?
Hey, just keep it going. Improve. Want to look to see the team get even better next week.
My takeaway is that any thought that this team isn't all in for the guys who are here in this building and in camp, there's no question about it. These guys are all. It's not just a marketing slogan. It's an approach that the players and the coaches are taking, and that can lead to some good things. So, again, it's very early, but I like what I see so far. For Joe Fortunato, for Linda Fortunato, who's really in charge, for Ed Rocco, who's probably the next in charge, and for Marco Coleman, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, and thanks for tuning in for the preseason opener. The Jaguars beat the defending world champion Giants 32-31. Next week they head to New Orleans. Go from Eli Manning to Drew Brees in terms of the quarterbacks they'll be seeing. So the defense getting a good workout. And we'll see how the quarterback looks for the Jaguars next week. A good start for Blaine Gabbert, but plenty to build on as well. And that's exactly what the preseason is all about. Jaguars begin the preseason with a 32-31 victory over the Giants. Monday night, it is the Mike Mularkey Show. Tuesday night, Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. And Wednesday night, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. We'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on with the Jaguars. Until then, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening. and good night from Jaguar Central.